Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean Russell.
What?
I'm Darth Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, we're going to have a look. Oh, well, actually, we're torturing ourselves. We're going to go and watch the... we have watched it. It was nice and torturous. Did you guys enjoy it?
In internet culture, this is considered like a strength test. This is a test of endurance. This clout. We have engaged in getting more nerd swag.
Oh my gosh.
By watching we Jason.
Have. Yeah. Yeah, we watched the Star Wars Holiday Special from 1978, 1 year after A New Hope came out. Mm-hmm. This is when the Star Wars Holiday Special graced our screens.
Good
well,
Lord.
Not my
well.
Screen because I wasn't alive, but yeah.
And also not graced.
And it did not grace. So if you thought that Disney destroyed Star Wars with Last Jedi, well, you haven't seen the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Fox did it years
the
ago.
The original attempted to kill the franchise. Right back then.
Oh my gosh.
It's literally, I'm not going to even hold back. It's not, it is the most horrendous viewing experience I think I've ever had.
It is the worst thing you can look up.
Yep.
Oh, and that's including for sure. Videos from ISIS.
Oh, completely. it's like they're probably a walk in the park compared to this.
Oh,
this is terrible. And to vaguely steal a line from Billy Madison, everyone is dumber for having endured this film. Like, it is just so bad.
Wow.
Here's a fun fact. You'll like this one that I read. Carrie Fisher, I think in the early 2000s or whatever, actually asked George Lucas for a copy of the Holiday Special purely so that she could put it on at parties when she wanted people to leave.
Oh, that's the best. Of course.
That is brilliant.
Carrie.
Before we get into the plot of this abysmal attempt of a movie, I'd just like to put a thank you out there for our Patreon supporter who actually suggested this. That was Declan Green.
Hey!
Thank you. I think when you suggested it, we all thought it would be fun. We even made shirts to commemorate the occasion with the tagline, I survived the holiday special.
We can actually wear them now.
Yep.
Because we actually did. Wasn't sure that we would for a second.
Boy, not realize that those shirts are probably more like resonant now than ever.
Yep.
Like the fact that like at one point I was watching this with an overtired screaming baby and there she goes
there she is now.
And I honestly had more enjoyment from her screaming than the movie. Like it's terrible. It's so bad. Anyways, what do you guys think of it? Did you love it? Yeah.
I think, look, I don't use the word heresy.
That's exactly what I think.
I think the fact that the name Star Wars is attached to this.
Yes.
I think we're talking today, Jason, the only reason that this did not nuke the franchise is because it was done a year after the first one.
Yes, and it was too early.
It was too early.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
And I think it only aired once, so like you know, whoever seen it at that point, probably didn't go and watch Empire. So they're probably like, no, not going anywhere near Empire after that.
If you're a young, up and coming, budding filmmaker, and you're having a day where you're like, you know what, today did not go well. I'm not good at what I do. Just remember that someone in 1978 made this.
Steve Binder made this, actually.
Steve Binder.
Probably
at least you didn't have a binder of a day, right? Like, that's you can be like,
we're having a binder.
Yeah. But, Dean, what did you think of this movie? Like, where does it land for you? Does it soar? Should I even ask that at this point?
Yeah, it was all right. I am very much kidding. No. Look, so... I was expecting the worst thing, but the only silver lining that I can give this movie was that I watched the 1994 Fantastic Four movie.
Two weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that makes this look like Citizen Kane. No, sorry. The holiday special. No,
the opposite.
But I was a little bit prepared for absolute
how bad
gut-wrenching, terrible visual watching experience. And
I wasn't prepared. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought that this would be better than what it is.
And, minutes in,
I'm like, oh my God, what is this? Who the hell thought of making this movie? Like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And it's an endurance. You're right, Paul. It's such an endurance. Like, every 10 minutes, I had to, like, look at my watch and just be like, hey, okay, there's an hour and 20 to go. Okay, there's an hour and 10 to go. Like, and I was like, come
like
on, just get through this.
Time stops when you're watching this movie.
It did. It just
slows down.
High speed. Time just slows down.
I was like, oh, it's been an hour. Surely it's almost finished. I looked down and it's like, oh, it's not even 10 minutes through.
You'll like this. If the last 5 to 6 minutes of us wailing on this movie isn't enough, if you go to the trivia section for the Star Wars Holiday Special, let me read you the first, let's say, 5 pieces of trivia. This is how it starts. This is the one Carrie Fisher wanted to get a copy of this.
It starts with, oh God, oh God, why?
Oh God, why? No. George Lucas gave her a special copy so she could play it when guests leave. George Lucas famously tried to buy up all the master copies to make sure it was never broadcast again. George Lucas remarked at an Australian convention, because of all the bootlegs that circled, if I had time and a sledgehammer, I would track down every bootleg copy of this program and smash it. But finally, Bea Arthur claimed she only appeared in this special because her youngest was a big fan of Star Wars.
Oh man.
And wow. Yeah, wasn't her thing just out of nowhere?
What
like,
the
I mean,
heck?
Every segment in this
a lot
is
of these.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, Bea Arthur's, I feel like it, we'll get to it, but her segment is basically what I refer to as like the Cheers segment of the episode. But anyways, we'll get to that eventually.
I want to go out there. Like, I feel so bad for those people out there because I'm sure they exist. There are people out there that this was their first experience of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are people that didn't make it to the movies to see A New Hope, and they saw this on TV, and I feel so
my
bad.
My son is, like, really young.
Don't tell me.
And so, like, I was watching this and last night, I seen the reflection of the TV screen. He snuck out of bed he's like watching it as well. And I turned around and I almost was like, no, not this.
Not the first time for you to watch this.
This is how you first experience Star Wars.
Jason, he's going to hate Star Wars forever.
You'll never be a fanboy. He's going to be a Trekkie.
Oh, Jason!
Oh, what have you done? I'm calling docs.
Actually, I don't mind that. But anyways, so flip the bird then?
Flipping the bird isn't enough. This is like lighting the bird on fire.
We're going to put a new category on here. So I feel like we've finally done it. We've got a movie that's worse than Rim of the World.
Yes.
So on this podcast. So now we're like, it's like the criteria is basically Endgame to Holiday Special. That's basically where we're going to rate these movies now. So yeah, like we can just throw out Rim of the World because there's a new boy in town.
This is the complete bottom of the barrel.
Turds are still like kind of funny. This is, I don't even know what
this is. Not. No.
This is like if a turd could do a turd and that turd had babies.
Yes. So let's try and cover whatever this movie is.
Oh, God.
All right. So it begins, first and foremost,
hunker down, everybody.
We screw over Kenny Baker in the very beginning because we're like, hey, introducing all the roles with all their names. Oh, and R2-D2 as R2-D2.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, wow. Mayhew, everyone else. Chewbacca, Anthony Daniels, C-3PO.
Freaking Kenny Baker.
And then also, James Earl Jones is the voice of Darth Vader. You're like, all right, well.
Yeah.
It probably still was David Prowse.
I'm pretty 100% sure all the footage from Darth Vader was from unused shots from
A New Hope. Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, the opening attack aboard the Falcon was just episode 4.
There's so many unused, like all unused the cantina and stuff shots is basically like the cutaway B-roll stuff kind of thing for the cantina scenes. Stuff.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah. That was cool.
But yeah, I was like, oh yeah, that's nice. You know, like screw over Kenny Baker straight up. But yeah, anyways. Man. So we get Han and Chewie, they're like escaping and like basically some shots, like you were saying, from A New Hope.
It's all and, the footage from them blasting out of Tatooine. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
They're escaping. And the Star Destroyers are chasing them down.
Yeah. And we have like some terrible dialogue from Han where he's like, oh, I'm going to get you back for life day to Chewie because he wants to go see his family. And you're like, oh, my God, is this where we begin? And you can see Harrison Ford just hates it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like every moment that he's in this where he's like trying to say the lines, but he's like, nah.
He's probably the most angriest at his lawyer for not being able to find a loophole to get out of it.
Yeah, to get him out of it.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Well, I got to like say in this whole thing, hats off to Mark Hamill. Because he's the only one that seems 100% like
committed
to this.
Oh, yeah.
He is not just like phoning in a performance, or he's probably, he doesn't seem to be on drugs either. So that's
because. No, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because I watch this on YouTube, obviously you get bored straight away. So I'm flicking through the comments. Best comment that I found was Pilly goes, how come Mark Hamill is cosplaying as an early 2000s Justin Bieber?
Yeah, he fully has eyeliner on, like really thick eyeliner as well. Like,
there's reasons for that. There's reasons for the weird look, because this apparently was shot just after his accident. So this is,
was it just
this
after?
This is post car accident.
I thought it was before. No. I'm sure it's before because
his nose was fine.
Yeah, he looks so much better. Like, I know Empire was shot like after it, but. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
We're going to fact check that.
I will
one,
fact check it and I'll come back.
Yeah.
Potentially.
You'll come back. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that's true. Where I found why it was so made up.
Yeah. Like, yeah. 1977, he got into a car accident that fractured his cheek.
1977. So there you go.
So yeah, it was.
This was.
Yeah. Wow.
So he was just completely made up to like try to hide any scars or anything. And that's why he looks very plastic in this.
Yeah. He scares me. Very it's like plastic. He's looking into my soul.
It's like a Ken doll. It's like,
Anyways, so we got to Chewbacca's family and they're preparing for his return. Oh my God. I can't believe we did this movie. Oh, it's so terrible.
This is, and honestly, this isn't us trying to be funny. This is 10 minutes of Wookiee to Wookiee dialogue with no subtitles.
Like 6 hours.
Don't do it. Shut the hell up. I've listened to too much of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Without translation either. No translation. There's no subtitles or nothing. It's just all that. So, man. Wait, Dean, could you do that again for us?
I'm trying to get Itchy's voice because it's.
Oh yeah, because it's not.
To be honest, mate, accuracy is not what we want here.
I cannot get Itchy's overbite. Like what?
Yeah. So basically, all it is that for whatever. Like it feels like 6 hours. It's probably it is. Is it 10 minutes? Is it 10 minutes?
It feels like it.
Oh,
it's
man.
A long time.
It feels like so long. It's, but
how much do you just want to cut Lumpy's throat?
Oh man,
he's so annoying.
There's one point where Lumpy like Lumpy. Okay, for people that haven't seen the Christmas special that are listening, so Lumpy is actually the child of Chewbacca
and Marla. Yep,
Marla. And basically, so there's one point where he does like the whole sort of walking out. What do you call it? One of the Stark kids. I can't remember.
Oh, it's when he's balancing on the freaking
In the first episode of
you totally understand why Chewbacca spends so much time away.
Oh my gosh! I've wiped anyone to get out of that. Also, here's the thing: how come he is from a? Firstly, they didn't even call his planet Kashyyyk by the way. They call it Kazoo well, or something
Kazoo,
like that.
Kazoo.
Oh, what? Are you serious that this is not canon?
Well, they call it Kazook, which was Kazook. The original name that Lucas considered for the planet Kashyyyk, but it's the same planet. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's tree people. They're big old Wookiee things. How come their house looks like, you know, a rental home from the 80s?
It's weird.
It looks like a show home.
It totally does.
Why do tree people need to have a cooking recipe show?
I really don't know.
What the freak is that?
It's so... my God. This movie is so terrible. Like, it's so much, like, bad stuff in this. Anyway, so I was meaning to say Bran Stark. So Lumpy does, like, the whole Bran Stark thing.
Yeah.
And, like, walks out basically on the
handrail.
I cannot think of words right now. Yeah, the handrail. And he's basically like, you know, 200 feet up in the air, balancing on the edge. And I actually thought that this was going to take a really dark turn and he was just going to fall off. Because I was like, oh, whoa, what is Lumpy doing? Like, what is he going to do there? Like, that's a bit crazy.
But what happens instead, Jason? What happens instead?
Nothing. It just cuts.
We hard cut.
Back inside. Oh.
Amazing.
So
amazing.
Very anticlimactic. I know. Crazy.
Oh my freaking God.
So dumb. So, and then they want to parent Lumpy in a weird way, so they give him some sort of weird circus thing to watch, and I'm kind of like, should a kid be watching that? Like, should I be watching that? Like, what the hell is
it's
that?
It's the Star Wars equivalent of, I'm just going to give him an iPad and just tell him to rack off for about 20 minutes.
100%. But it is the weirdest thing. Like, I'm like, yeah, whoever made this was like, on LSD, they had to be. There is no way that anyone in their right mind would make this. This is like just crazy.
Well, here's the thing. So, like, this was back at this point, no one except George Lucas really knew what Star Wars was. The universe wasn't fully established. And they were like, we'll just put on colors and then we're aliens and we're in Star Wars. Yay.
Oh, no.
And holograms.
So holograms. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have the hologram thing with Itchy, like the grandfather, having a late night call with Diane.
We're not there yet, but Carol.
We need to introduce the trader guy.
Well, if we go, we're skipping over a few things. Here we go. So they do the circus.
Whole movie?
I'm going to bullet point some stuff for you. Here we go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
They do the thing and they watch the circus. It's wildly weird. The whole time,
so
Itchy and Marla are worried because Chewie should be there. They begin to freak out. So they use a computer to find a spaceship. There's no spaceship. They use a hidden other computer to call the Barbie version of Mark Hamill and R2-D2, played by R2-D2, Luke reassures them that, hey, he's never missed a life day and he's not going to start now, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, he's fixing his X-Wing engine. His X-Wing engine is exploding behind him, but he's like, no, R2, you shut up. This isn't that important. He's like, mate, you're going to die in a second. And I'm sure he wants to.
Do you guys? Yeah. That was like a hefty amount of smoke that Mark Hamill was inhaling at that point.
That was a lot of smoke. Like,
wow. He must have some sort of emphysema or something right now. But my goodness.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I'm worried about his health.
Crazy.
Are you?
I am.
I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, okay.
I think,
okay.
Yeah, I feel like fine. In the future he'll be
alright. You sure?
All right.
You sure?
Yeah. Maybe that's how we got into a car crash, because he's just high on all the fumes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So we have that, like, that whole phone call, and he's basically like, I'm sure they'll get there. And it'll be
and
okay.
I feel like he does the most patronizing thing ever, where he's like, Marla, stop worrying. Now, come on. Give me that smile. I don't know if you've ever seen a Wookiee smile, but neither have I, and I've watched this.
Yes. Come on now.
Give me that smile.
Hey, Paul. Come on now. Give me a smile. Give me that. Oh, yeah, you're doing it. You're doing it. So bad.
What happens next, for the love of God?
We have, like, that call with the trade.
Yeah, they make another call.
Sean Dan.
And basically, I feel like he's, I can't remember what his name is, like the actual
Sean
actor.
Sean Dan, but, who cares? Dawn
Dan. Yeah, okay. So he basically, I feel like he doesn't know what Star Wars is either. No. So he's basically trying to do a stand-up routine the whole time that just falls really flat. It's basically like your dad trying to tell jokes for 2 hours. And so he has like all these little bits with like all the different Imperial guards and stuff like that. And it just goes nowhere. And then he does this coded sort of message like the... There, what was the coded message? I can't remember. It's so ugh.
Oh,
it's like basically like
being delivered.
Your order's gonna be
yeah.
She's making it by hand. Solo.
Yeah, solo. Oh.
That is somehow worse than naming him Han Solo in Solo.
Yeah, basically. It is man, this movie, honestly, like The Last Jedi looks like great to me now. Like I've gone into the vortex.
We've suddenly been dropping the idea of watching this all year.
I've gone into like the pit of the crappest of the crappest Star Wars, and anything is good compared to this. This
even
is terrible.
Solo? Even Solo.
Oh yeah, no. Solo is a masterpiece compared to this. Like, oh. Anyway, so we have his little bit, and then you have like the cameo of Darth Vader, where basically it's badly dubbed over the actual original footage sort of thing. And they're like, yeah, we're going to just reuse some of the footage from the movie. There's heaps of stuff that's just reused from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We go back, and Marla, I believe, is cooking at this point, watching the weirdest cooking show on Earth. And is it the same guy dressed up?
Yep.
It kind of looks like the... Is
it? This is she... Give me 1 second, because it is a human. It's a human woman.
It's not a woman. No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No, it is a guy. It is a guy, and he plays two roles in this. I read that somewhere.
Oh, Chef, Harvey Korman.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Chef Gourmander. Okay. What I love the most about this section, by the way, is when he appears on screen, he's in the tutorial section of the movie.
That's right. Oh my freaking God.
His chef
that comes up.
The chef begins by saying, hello, everybody. And then in Wookiee, here, hello. Literally, she says hello in Wookiee.
Yes.
Wow.
So around this point, have we gone to like Itchy's weird phone call thing yet? Not yet.
Well,
I think it's because I thought it was much earlier in this, because it's just burnt into my brain. Like, what the hell?
Because the trader
has
to come over. The trader's got the
oh, that's right. He comes over. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Marla watches how to cook Fanta Rump. But the fun thing about this chef is she's actually a forearm chef.
So while
she's stirring and whisking, she's like, oh, hang on a second. You've got to stir, 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 whisk, whisk. And then you've got to beat the
Can we not do it? Can we just skip over this? Because it is
anyway, Marla is angry and then turns the TV off.
Thank you.
We then cut back to Han and Chewie and also episode 4. Where they replay the scenes of them escaping the Death Star perfectly.
Yeah.
Of course.
And the whole time they're like, don't worry, pal. We're going to get you back to life day.
Get back for
You're
life
like
day.
Family to me.
Life day.
Oh. Sweet Moses.
Your family is my family and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The only good thing from this section is that we learn that the turrets can be controlled from up front, and everything they did in episode 4 meant nothing.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. Like, wait, how is he controlling that? He's like in the cockpit.
Yeah,
I reckon that is the one and only reason why this is not considered canon anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's why George Lucas hated it.
A bit of a plot hole.
Yeah, massive plot hole.
Ruined his story.
It's the only reason.
You can't just press a button and shoot a gun.
Oh,
You got to be on the gun. You've got to be the gun.
Yeah, just crazy.
You've got to be the gun. Man. And if you think you can fire from up front,
itchy can be cannon. But kiss that, my rich white ass. Freaking gosh.
Well, after that, we cut back to Itchy. this is where the Imperial guys rock up.
No,
what's his name? Trader rocks up, and we have Itchy's moment. Itchy's late night call.
it's
so bad.
What is that?
I was like, what? Who is this made for? Who is the target audience?
To be.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently it was meant to be softcore and to beat. No, seriously. And to beat the censorship.
Ooh. Really? Right. Yep. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Oh. It's so terrible. It's garbage. Do they even, no wonder, Disney will probably try and, get rid of this.
So, basically, all you need to know is Itchy is a dirty old Wookiee. That's just...
I know.
Yeah, he's just watching porn.
While his whole family's living room.
His whole family around.
Middle of the living room. He's just getting these Wookiee-ookies out and watching a bit of porn.
You know what I thought was always missing from Star Wars?
Is pornography.
A grandfather Wookiee watching porn. That's a
creepy perv.
Yeah, creepy perv.
Getting his rump ready.
Oh, his grandson's running around.
His grandson's running around.
Yeah. Oh.
Imagine his face if he grabs the wrong chip and he's like, oh, we'll watch those circus people. Oh my God, no!
Yeah.
It's like, man.
But the circus people are bad enough anyways. So it's like, it's not much different.
Here, kid, anyways. I carved you another X-ray. No, I don't want that. I'm not touching that.
Why does Grandpa have so much Imperial guards? we also have a call with Carrie Fisher at this point as well.
Yeah,
so and R2 and C-3PO, they're doing their taxes or something.
That's right.
Oh my god,
they're doing their taxes or something. I don't know.
Doing all the paperwork after all the destruction in A New Hope. There's a lot of paperwork.
You know what I just realized? So Han and Chewie, I know it's so dumb to really pick apart this plot, but Han and Chewie are on their way to wherever Chewbacca's family is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're traveling this whole time.
Yep.
And then at the end they arrive, and then so does Princess Leia and C-3PO and Mark Hamill, and everyone just all arrives at the same time, sort of thing.
No, well that's not no.
Or
not
they there. Transcend.
That's it's yeah, a trans- that's oh, right. thing. Yeah.
But, which okay, we'll get again. To that.
So the
we'll
transcend. That.
That's
the
Force realm.
Why
Jason?
Does Chewie have to Obviously, even be
that's
there?
It's a Force realm. It's a Snoke thing.
Why does Chewie have to travel there? If he can just transcend into the Force realm.
No, he needs to go home to pick up his red cloak.
right, of course.
That's right. Here, with this call with Princess Leia, we see why so many Rebel bases are destroyed. Because the whole time Leia's is there someone there that I can talk to? And then this dude rocks up and he's don't worry, ma'am. I don't like the Empire and I'm good with the Rebellion. She's like, well then you're in safe hands, Marla. You're bitch, you don't even know who this guy is. Boba Fett lies later, 5 minutes from now.
Oh, man.
He told me to trust him. Do you think I should trust him? Yeah, I'll trust him.
I'm not
you
sure.
You seem like a nice guy. So we're good.
I'm not sure what you guys think, and I'm pretty sure this isn't going to be as easy to research as the Mark Hamill car accident thing. But based on what we know from Carrie Fisher and her past, I'm pretty sure she is heavily medicated in this scene. She is very much.
Mark Hamill's nose looks like ass.
I think it's hard to prove, but she probably wrote about it in a biography.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure you could probably find it. But
because she talked about being on drugs, in the Empire and Jedi. So it's
you can see she's got a coke fingernail in no, seriously, in episode 6 when they're flying to the second Death Star, you see her put a hand on Harrison Ford's shoulder, and her index finger nail is really, really long, but her other ones aren't, which is a coke nail.
Yeah. No, I never. Wow. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we have that call with Princess Leia and C-3PO. And yeah, the traitor guy's like, trust me because I'm cool with the rebellion because that's all it takes.
Traitor Dan.
You're cool with the rebellion? Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, I'm going to sign off, but here's my location. Here's my email and my number if you want to contact me anytime.
Here's my PIN number. Here's my bank account details.
This is the base we're on, but these are the next five fallbacks. So just keep that in mind.
Password to our security is 12345. You're welcome.
Yeah. Nice one, 3PO.
That's the same one on my briefcase.
Then at Chewie's family's house, some stormtroopers arrive and they are searching the place for, I can't even remember what they're looking for.
They're looking for rebel evidence.
Checked out.
Evidence of rebel activity.
It's because the Falcon breaks the blockade and does a sort of a flyby. Right. So they think there's rebel activity in the area. So they they follow the scent of the Wookiees and go to Marla's house.
So it's, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Not really.
No. Don't let them off this easy, Jason. Have some standards, man.
Damn it, man.
So bad.
Back yourself.
Yeah, so they're searching the house and I'm like, how many people, the Empire must have unlimited resources because they send about four or five people to that house.
Yes.
And then they're there for a good 20, maybe 30 minutes.
Yep.
They
even leave a bloke. Just stay
here. They even leave a guy. Like, how many people do they have? How much resources do they have that they can just...
I reckon maybe in this particular incident, the Empire are the good guys because potentially they leave this one soldier behind because they've just gone through our old mate Itchy's search history. I was like, oh dear, there are miners in the area. We lock this down.
We might have a Kevin Spacey situation here. We've just checked that guy's holo.
Let's just monitor the situation.
Holo visor. And
they're just looking out for the kid. This is the Imperial Social Services.
Sean Dan basically makes some awkward chit chat and he's like, basically I've got to fix this whatever. And he fixes
sell the
up
Empire
something.
Wallets? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And they're like, do you have any identification? And he shows them some ID or whatever. And then he fixes up some sort of weird device that shows our...
Oh, freak.
Okay.
Man. The next music number.
So, hang on. In this
the
is
next
defense,
music number.
Yeah. Jefferson Starship. Rock. This is the only good thing in this movie, I think.
Is it?
It's just a cool
is
song.
Is it really?
Starship Whale.
Do you reckon Jefferson Starship are in this because their band is called Jefferson Starship?
Starship. Oh, that has stuff to do with Star Wars, right?
Yeah
Starships. Yeah,
of course.
There's an Imperial officer called Isaac Jefferson. Totally made up, by the way.
Look, the song might be good, but I was beat down so heavily by this point that nothing could redeem this movie. So, anything that comes up, I was like, oh, great, a musical number. Oh, what the hell?
I kind of just skipped through the music numbers anyway. I'll be honest.
Yeah, they're bad.
You
didn't survive the holiday special?
Wow, Dean. I didn't realize you were a fake fan.
I cut corners. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Rude.
Hey, I'm still wearing my shut up. I'm still wearing my shirt. I don't care what you say. I freaking deserve it.
You got this far. Yeah. So they continue searching the house and the stormtroopers after the musical numbers ended. Imperial Guard clicks at a stormtrooper at one point and he's like, we don't want to hurt anyone, and does the whole click.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yep, right.
Sorry. Not to continue to pull this movie apart. When all the Imperial guys rock up.
I'd hate to do that.
Literally,
I'd hate to do that.
The Rebel communicator is still open. So
that's
the human
guy
is like, sneakily walks over and just pushes the two panels back.
Yeah.
And then they don't find it. Who are you watching?
No.
Dude casually slides three doors closed. What are you trying to find rebels?
They look through everything else, like very thoroughly. I'm just like, don't see that sitting out there. Oh man.
So they're searching the house and Chewie's son, Lumpy decides that it's a great time to watch some resistance propaganda, in the way of like a cartoon series.
That is some great propaganda there. Oh man.
Yeah. So I'm this is a great chance to do it. The worst kid in the world.
If, you know, we all found out that Bluey was actually a One Nation funded campaign.
It's like a North Korean
propaganda video base.
It's fully like that. But it's like, but then what you do is like you're watching it when like, I don't know, like just the opposition is in your lounge room kind of thing. Like
what the heck?
It doesn't make sense to be sitting down to watch that.
We get one kind of cool thing happen here. We get introduced to Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Which is the first time
we've seen. Yeah, right. So,
yes.
Of course, I didn't realize the time that this actually came out until today when I was looking it up. So, I didn't realize that this was actually before Empire, which is awesome.
Yep. This is the first time anyone was introduced to Boba Fett.
And Mandalorians in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so they crash onto a planet, and I'm not sure what the name of that planet is.
The Panna system. Jelly planet, system. Basically.
Basically a jelly planet. And they're looking for the talisman. And basically, Boba Fett arrives and he meets Luke and C-3PO. And
R2. Oh, it's all three of them.
Yeah.
R2 and C-3PO.
And he's like on this creature and it makes like the tiniest whimper. And then he like fully just whelps it. Like he like smashes it. Did you notice that? Like that it's like just makes this tiny little thing. And then he's just really, really mean to it. So like he sure just shows his true colors.
A little bit.
But then Luke is like, yeah, I trust this guy. This guy seems nice. Yeah. Even though he's like beating the crap out of that animal.
That's totally true.
He
just kicks the pig.
Then
this guy wearing a mask is, you know, seems like a cool dude. It's got nothing to hide.
I don't even remember.
That's right.
Why are they going for the talisman? Talisman? How do you say that word? I always get that confused. Talisman.
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 It's because the talisman can make anything invisible.
That's right.
That's the story beat. The talisman can make anything invisible, could be super useful to the rebellion. So they go for it.
Right. And Han, they've got like a call from Han and they see that he's like basically upside down, unconscious kind of thing.
Yep.
And so they're going to rescue him as well as getting it. And then we find out when they arrive on the Millennium Falcon that it actually has like a sleeping virus that only affects humans.
Yep.
But why doesn't it affect Boba Fett?
Because he's not a human.
Because he's wearing a helmet. Obviously.
Well, also he doesn't enter the room. Oh, he doesn't enter the proximity of the talisman.
Doesn't he? Because I'm sure he like comes straight to where Luke was and stands over the top of Luke, right?
No, because Luke walks into the cockpit of the Falcon as Chewie throws it in the bin. So he goes down, but Boba Fett doesn't enter.
Right, yeah.
It's actually perfect timing. Okay. From an animation perspective, well done. Look into it, it's actually great.
It is. Yeah. It's frame perfect. Yeah. So there's definitely nothing to argue here.
Yeah, there's no plot hole here.
We should just move on.
This masterpiece of a movie.
Stop finding plot holes in this freaking movie.
Jerk.
We have a Starlog voiceover at this point too, and it sounds heaps like Mark Strong. I know, like he was like probably like a little kid at this point, but
he still sounded like that.
It probably is five-year-old Mark Strong. He's like 8 years old. But yeah, I was like, you know, when they eventually make the reboot of this, they could keep him in mind for the
just please.
When they make, oh my god, maybe Benioff and D.B. Wise can do the remake.
Maybe that's their redeeming Star Wars thing.
Yeah, more free up. Oh my god! Right.
Maybe what happened is why they left is because they had creative differences because they wanted to do a holiday special in Kathleen Kennedy's. Like, maybe not.
Two words, man. Jefferson Starship.
So
we make Boba Fett says,
okay.
Yeah.
No.
Well, he is canon.
So yeah, we have the whole Boba Fett thing. So what happens there? Like, what happens next, Paul?
Well, what happens next is that Boba Fett says that, oh, I know exactly what's going on here. This is just like a paralysis thing. And that whilst hanging them upside down might help, the best way to do it is to get a serum. But thankfully, I know where the serum is. Convenient. So Chewie goes with Boba Fett to the city. And Boba Fett says, you wait here. I'm going to go buy a serum. So whilst he goes to buy a serum, he also makes a call to Darth Vader himself saying that I've got the Rebels' trust. And then Vader's yeah, sick one, mate. Keep it up. Yeah. And they might tell you where their Rebel base is because apparently they're super trusting if you're a human.
Yeah.
Which is kind of racist.
Yeah, exactly.
So Boba Fett's
the Resistance seems a bit racist.
Well, exactly right. Well, whilst this is happening, R2 and 3PO, for some reason, are like, where are they? I'm going to check the radio. And they intercept this call.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
They get both ends of the call.
Pretty much exactly how it goes. Yep.
Yeah. So
which
then,
is how, man, how it works, how the radio works.
Here's the thing. Like, they go back to the ship. Mm-hmm. They unknock out Han and Luke. But then straight up C-3PO is like, nah, he's bad. He's like Vader's right-hand man. To which they then look at him and he's got a gun drawn on everybody.
Yeah.
No one has weapons on him.
Yeah. No.
And he's like, I'll see you next time.
Oh, no.
And he flies away.
You've got the upper hand. I better escape.
I'm out. I'll see you next time.
I'm only single wielding here.
I brought a gun to a punchy punch fight.
I've only got one bullet left. If you could all line up, that would be great. So Boba Fett hits his jetpack and legs it. And that's sort of where it ends.
Really. See,
oh,
Boba Fett.
They all fly away and they're all like, oh, actually, there was a note that I had for this. And this, it scared me to hear this. You never hear C-3PO laugh. He laughs at the end of this, and
it is
unnerving as hell.
I missed that. I'm not going to go back to find out what it sounds like, but I'm going to take
it's bad, man. It's real bad.
I'm just going to take your word for it. I'm never going back to this again.
I listened to it like four times. I'm like, it is 3PO. It is him laughing.
Oh, wow.
Which makes no sense, but none of this does. So, we're a cartoon now for some reason.
Oh man.
Yeah, I know.
So cartoon ends here. We basically go from slightly becoming a little bit, you know, on the verge of getting to mediocrity back down a shithouse.
Yeah.
When we go back to
actually, because we're still keeping this like in the censorship
we get up to like, you know, loosely slightly mediocrity and then we go back down a crap house.
Yeah, completely. And
that was good.
And we go back to like the stormtroopers searching the room with like all the finesse of the toddler having a tantrum kind of thing. They're just
I think they had fun with this scene. Even though it's like, have fun with it. He's like, I'm going to rip this toy in half.
Oh man, it's terrible.
They destroy his room.
Marla's Wookiee knicker drawer and all that fun stuff.
Right. Taking a few.
One thing about the Empire, though, they're not racist because they're searching the Wookiee family's houses. So, realize that, you know, anyone could be part of the Resistance in their mind.
Yeah.
They're about equal opportunities.
They are equal opportunities.
Funny story, though, Jason.
Interesting. I reckon they've got him, Dean.
They've fully turned. He's gone from, you know what, Last Jedi is a great movie to... Holiday special, bring it on.
I love how trashing the kid's room is like the lieutenant guy doing Marla a favor because then he's just like, now go and clean up your room, kid. And then he's like, that'll keep him busy for a little bit. And you're like,
are you trying to help him?
Again, like, you're welcome. Hey, now where are
Imperial
the rebels?
I just gave you some services.
Alone time.
That's what they are. they're just there to clean up the place.
That's right. Well, we enter what I would say. If you have a heart condition and can't handle high stress, high pace things, then you're totally fine to watch this section because Lumpy decides to assemble a present that Sean Dan gave him. Which is it's a little mini transmitter. So instead of just putting it together, he decided, hey, I'm going to watch a tutorial. You watch it with me. This tutorial, no joke, goes for 3 minutes and 8 seconds.
I was like, you know what I want with my Star Wars?
Mm.
An instructional product video. That is what's missing from Star Wars.
It's not even like a joke. it's an entire tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On how to assemble this bloody thing.
Product.
Oh my God.
I'm like, why? Like, if I wanted to do this, I'd go buy something from IKEA and try and build it. Like, this is not entertainment. This is work.
It would be in A New Hope, Obi-Wan's just like, look, this is your father's lightsaber. Still packaged. Here are the instructions. Let's go through this and build it together. Now,
here are the instructions and click this link and let this guy tell you how to do it.
I'll be back in 10 minutes to see how you go.
Oh my God.
This is where I believe trade negotiations was born. It's basically they're like, yes, we found something that's going to really work. Boring content. Let's do it in another prequel series.
Boring ass. Nine content. We then cut back downstairs to the Imperials. Then an announcement comes across, I'm assuming the entire planet, that says this is just for Imperial personnel. You need to watch this. And what they need to watch.
Carrie Fisher's voice comes through?
Yes, it is.
I'm like, what is she doing working for the Imperial?
It's a B. Arthur
forces
musical.
Yes.
All Imperial personnel need to watch this.
Because
the Empire wants to indoctrinate dating advice, actually. So they cross to a segment in the Mos Eisley Cantina where Bo Arthur is running the show now. Like she's it's Beatrice is actually her real name.
The whole intro to the Mos Eisley Cantina, they've recreated the original intro. But it looks like it's a whole bunch of kids from Comic-Con who recreated the intro using their costumes. I think
it's actually outtakes from the original because there was a lot of really crap stuff in the original cantina stuff.
Like all the close-ups of the werewolf and stuff like that.
Yes. They then have dialogue with them. Like it can't be cutaways because those aliens
are there, but they just look wrong. As well.
Yeah, that's true. They are. I reckon it's probably
the same props and whatever, but just kind of like, just throw it on. We're good. Let's go. Shove it on. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She pats one of them. She pats one of them in the face.
This is literally the Cheers section of the movie. Like it's literally trying to be Cheers.
Mm.
And I was like surprised that Ted Danson doesn't show up at any point in this because I was like, what is this? Then they have that weird alien guy that comes in.
With the cup in his
head. Is it the same guy?
Well, this is the tutorial bloke.
Yeah, yeah. So he comes in and he like basically Pepe Le Pew's B's character by like coming onto a super strong.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a extended setup for one joke. Like, and it just goes on forever for them to say the joke at the end where basically she's like, come again. Like, I look forward to seeing you again or something like that. And he just creeps onto the bartender like super and then ends up getting free head mouth drinks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because he's got a mouth in the top of his head.
So who's the loser now?
So all he has to do is creep onto the bartender and he gets free drinks. That's what I learned from this thing.
She pours like the equivalent of maybe 5 standard drinks down this dude's head.
Yeah. He's probably like blind.
Yeah, that's why he's still there. He's like, I'm dead. You killed me.
I honestly, at this point in the movie, I was like, is this just all improvised?
It feels like
hey, let's do this. This will be funny. And then it just.
It's not.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not funny. It's not even enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if even all the Harrison Ford dialogue was just like, Chewbacca and Han Solo have a bonding moment ad lib.
Like, oh, yeah, right, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's one of those, like, it was probably one of those brainstorming days where it's getting super close to Christmas and all the producers are like, oh, crap, everyone's already on holidays, all our writing stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just get our kids in to do it. They'll whip something together. Between you know, the 10 of them, they've got 30 years experience. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Between the 10 of them, they've got 30 years experience. But then where does the scenes for, like, Itchy come in?
Oh.
Like, well, you can't blame that on kids, because this is adult crap that they've created here. Like, this is terrible.
Their parents are film producers. Some of them have to be a bit messed up. So.
Okay, yeah, fair
Maybe
enough.
Maybe they're like, so when I'm 40, I'm going to watch porn wherever I want.
Yeah. Oh, man. So at this point, there's a curfew gets announced. And died, for some...
I got monitors everywhere, man. Hey, come onto the front balcony.
So at this point, there's like a curfew that's announced in the cantina and then throughout everywhere, basically. And then a riot in the bar ensues. Mm-hmm. And because everyone immediately runs out of drinks as soon as the curfew is announced.
Kind of thing. It's like, that's our curfew. Loyalty.
And loyalty, yeah, they turn on it like straight away.
Yeah, wow. That's how curfews and work.
That's my size, mate.
Yep.
Scum and villainy.
And
yep.
And then so to entice everyone into leaving, they do like a barbaric edition of the cantina with this terrible, terrible song attached. Like, you know what was missing from the cantina? Some English lyrics.
Yep. Yeah.
I fundamentally disagree, but then again, like, I know I'm not talking to Jason anymore. You are a bona fide Star Wars Lucasfilm, just like, you're an employee, right? You're an influencer at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been turned.
Yeah. Because you've been turned. Yeah, hey, that's what it means.
He pulls his face off. It's like, Kathleen Kennedy, I knew it was you.
It was me.
Oh, yeah, they're going to catch me, kids.
Yeah, yeah. This is the
holiday special is coming back. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we have that terrible song. It's so crap.
Yes.
I don't even know where to start with it. It's like, you know what? We haven't pooed on Star Wars enough. Let's actually bring the music
in. Let's hunker down.
And let's really... And for the rest of this, that's what they just do. They just like bastardize all the other music.
And all
like
it
John
is,
Williams.
Her plan
like
just, is to just get everyone singing and then in a conga line and then just leads them out the door.
Out the door.
Except the bloke with a hole in his head. It's probably, you know... 18 drinks to the wind and completely blasted. He's like, I literally can't walk.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like head mouth on the floor, basically.
Straight to the brain. That is, oh, man. Yeah.
Straight to the brain.
Look at the effect.
Like when you're
shot.
So we go back to Chewie's family. And Lumpy almost gets killed by a stormtrooper, but Chewie gets back in time.
Oh, we're almost at the end. Thank fucking Christ.
And the stormtrooper gets like knocked over the edge and dies.
Just trips him over.
We've got our kill count up for this episode. Ooh, like,
Wilhelm
this whatever
Scream
it is.
Makes an appearance.
Wilhelm what? Scream?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's
epic.
That's it.
There too.
That's how you know this is very much a Star Wars thing.
And it's then here, I love this bit. I love so Han and Chewie sort of go back and like, it's all safe. He's gone. Don't even worry about him. Ah, we just killed a guy.
Yes, we literally killed a guy.
Han, I think Han leaves. Han's like,
hey, Lumpy, he experienced someone dying just now.
Hey, everyone, get around. Like, I just killed a guy. I gotta lay low.
Lumpy's gonna go to bed and is like, my granddad watches porn in the lounge room, and my dad and probably uncle just killed a dude.
Yeah.
But so Han, they're like, Han, stay for life day. And he's like, nope, they might find the Falcon, so I'm going to peace out.
Yeah.
So he leaves. There's another knock at the door. So Chewie, not even thinking that it could be Han, maybe he forgot his keys, Bowcaster leveled at the door, In comes Sean Dan again.
Yay!
Saying, he's just like, hey, I got some stuff for you.
Because we haven't seen him enough.
Mm-hmm. This is the best bit. There's a planet-wide broadcast saying, B4711, where are you? You're not answering your comms, what's up? So Sean calls them back. And he's just like, you know, hi, I have some information. Like, what's your identification? And his whole spiel is like, I've got my identification. Uses his identification and says that he took a bunch of food and then a bunch of stuff and just legged it. And they're like, well, you've got identification. So that checks out. Thank you, citizen.
Yeah. He stole from us. And
then
he
actually gives a moral to the story. He's like, this is why you always carry identification.
Always have ID because people believe you if they know who you are.
Yeah. Because, my God. That's how it works. If you tell them, they believe it all at face value.
Another reason
why
I think this was written by children who think that's how identification works.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because everything, the biggest takeaway from episode 4 is you do not need to see my identification.
So you know what? Like though, when I think about it now, what I've learned from this holiday special is next time I get pulled over by the cops, I'll just show them my ID and go, "No, I wasn't speeding."
Well, you've got your identification.
It all checks out.
That checks out. I'm going to end this international broadcast right now.
You get pulled over by the other cops. Kill the cop. He took a whole bunch of food and a bunch of my stuff and he ran into the hills. And the officer would be like, I can see his body, but you've got identification.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I must be like, I may be taking crazy pills. That's the only explanation for this.
No one who has an insane first and last name is a liar.
Yeah. So...
what happens
then
next?
Chewie and his family all get together, and in the low resolution that I was watching this on, it kind of looked like they all had the Indiana Jones gold skull from Raiders.
They had
some crystals, but it really looked like that when they stood in their little circle. Mm-hmm. So they stand in a circle with red robes on.
Yes.
Oh, no, they don't have... Do they have red robes on? They do. They out in...
Yeah, they
everyone
they
has red robes.
Transitions.
Yeah, they go put their cold robes on. Yes. And,
oh, man, yeah. So... They transition into some sort of force
realm.
Projection, whatever realm
they
thing.
Go to the
and
tree
it's full
of life.
With, like, everyone's got red robes on, and there's like dry ice fog on the ground. Mm-hmm. The whole gang arrives. Mm-hmm. Princess Leia comes in, and she decides to sing a song to continue the bastardization.
Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels. R2-D2.
Yeah, R2-D2. Yes.
They're so glad that Chewie made it home. It's just so fantastic. Oh, man.
They're so glad that he made it home. Mm-hmm. Why he even had to travel home if they're all going to meet in this like astro projection thing world.
I'll be honest.
Because, again, he needed to get his cult robes.
Yeah.
Did you see how stupid the other guys looked when they didn't have cult robes on? He would have been laughing stock.
Yeah.
I'll be honest though.
They wouldn't have been accepted.
They're like Carrie Fisher's got a good voice. She can sing. I didn't know that.
She does.
She
does. She does have a good voice. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking is they're like the ones that are a little bit too cool for the cult.
Yeah. Well, of course they are. They're heroes.
And
they're the bring your friend kind of. You know, they don't have to be
they're
members
plus one.
Because they're friends of members.
You know what it is? Yeah. Only people who get medals and give out medals are too cool to wear robes.
So where's your robe? I don't need a robe. You know me.
I don't know. I've got a medal, bitch.
Did you watch A New Hope? I got a medal.
Where's your medal?
I gave the medal.
Oh, man. Speaking of medals, have you guys sent off for yours yet? Because, you know, you can send a letter to Skywalker Ranch and they'll send you a medal for getting through the holiday special.
George Lucas shows up at your house.
Yeah.
I wish that was a thing. I was like believing you.
Lucas
for like
shows
seconds
up at your house and smashes your hard drive and is like, they'll never believe you.
You know what?
He just punches you in the face and runs
part
off.
Part of me believed you because you know that you can write to your local MP and get a flag sent to you.
That's
like
right.
It's apparently a thing that you can
it's
do.
A, it's
like
on the flag. It's a photo of the Queen.
Photo of the Queen.
Yeah, and a flag. Yeah. Right? You,
oh,
get,
you
both.
Get both.
You get both, yeah.
It's not one or the other.
No.
It's like, you don't have to have you got your flag last week.
Yeah.
We keep tabs.
Yeah. Yeah, you get both. I'm pretty sure.
Don't be greedy.
It's basically a test to see if you're like, you know, Republic or Democrat or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What is the two difference? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, what happens? They sing Chewie basically
ends.
Just gives a summary of episode 4.
It ends. Yeah.
And then,
Princess Leia does the bastardization of John Williams' score by singing along to the score.
Oh, that did not match at all.
Star Wars, this is the Star Wars.
Nothing but Star Wars.
But not even good. Like, well, look, she sings well.
We got
she's
Chewbacca
a good singer.
And
she
Princess
is a very
Leia.
Good singer.
But they don't have robes.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that they're really killing everything about Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
And then we get the montage of A New Hope, and it reminds us of what we should have been watching instead of this filth.
And that's
this is
thankfully
absolute filth.
And it ends, thankfully.
Oh, and that's the end, It does end. Oh. We all go back to our lives and pretend like it never happened.
Holy crap, that was hard.
Every once or twice a year, we're just going to stop working and look at each other and be like,
are we?
Yeah,
we did this.
We
do you
that.
Remember the holiday special?
Yeah. This day will continue to reign in infamy as the day that we all did this. We'll remember this day.
Yeah.
The day that we hit rock bottom.
Most people call it Halloween. We call it the day we review the holiday special. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, yeah. So that's the holiday special. We did survive the holiday special.
Mm-hmm. Did you survive?
We will have shirts out there.
Yes, no.
Did you survive?
Why?
Buy a shirt.
Why did you do that to yourself?
Yeah. I think we should actually, to commemorate this Star Wars Cringe Month, which we're doing.
Are we really committed to this, by the way? Can we opt out?
No,
Dean.
It'll get better. It's better from here on out. Like, It literally. So,
we're losing him. We're losing him, Jay.
So we've got
Dean,
the Ewok Adventure next week, which is actually going to be a little bit better. It's going to be a little bit. I hope. I actually seen it when I was a little kid.
Oh yeah.
I remember parts of it, but not very well.
The holiday
but
special.
I'm hoping. No, not the holiday special. I don't remember any of that. But the Ewok Adventure.
Okay.
And so that's next week. We're going to do the Battle of Endor the week after that. And then we're going to get into the prequels. So like full Star Wars cringe. Mm-hmm. And it actually does get better and better, I suppose.
Hell yeah.
Even though,
except for episode 2. But
Yeah. So it's sort of, it'll have an up and down at the last week. But I think we should give away another shirt. I think this should be a good month to do that. So what we'll do is we'll set it up on the Facebook page. We'll have a competition. What are you guys happy?
Happy
to do that?
Are we gonna give away one of the Star Wars shirts? Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Can I enter it?
Yeah, for sure. you sure can. But
conflict of interest.
So we're gonna put it up. Maybe we'll do something like let us know what's the worst merchandise or Star Wars cringe thing that you've come across and in 25 words or less, like what it is, what's so terrible about it.
Here we go.
Or if you
have an idea.
What is
the best part of the Star Wars Christmas special? Why was it misunderstood? If you can convince us that there was a section that was good, I think that deserves
Okay. Well, maybe we do that. Convince
like
us that the Star Wars holiday special is good.
Or at least an element. You're not going to convince us this is good. That should
one
be
element. Convince us that there's one good thing in this movie.
That's right. You make a good argument. We'll talk t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk t-shirts. So, yeah, we can do that. So we'll put that up on our Facebook page.
Are we going to rate this?
Hopefully soon. Yeah, we're going to rate it. Do we have to rate it?
All right, Dave, what are you going to rate it, mate?
What are you going to give it?
Oh, man. First of all, we were at Rachel's parents'
Here's
place
a disclaimer. Yep.
Last night. And we were like, you know,
you forced them all to watch it together.
Well, no, Rachel actually said, and this is, it's the, I never thought that I would hate hearing this, but Rachel said to me, Dean, we have to go home because you have to watch Star Wars. And I loathed it. I was like, oh, and I never thought I'd have that reaction. To that
sentence.
Yeah, because
you watched this in one sitting, didn't you?
I did, because I didn't get time.
You were such a sucker for punishment. I could not sit there and watch this in one sitting. I think I did it in about 10 different sittings, because I watched 10 minutes at a time. That's all I could bear when I was watching it. It's so crap. Oh, man. So crap. Yeah. But yeah, so sorry. What are you?
My rating.
How many birds?
So it gets plus one bird for introducing Boba Fett, minus one bird for introducing Wookiee porn, minus.
Technically, it wasn't
each.
Wookiee porn.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
She was
a human. Wookiee is watching
human,
porn.
So.
Minus weird. Every bird for every one of Chewbacca's family members. Plus one bird for each of the original Star Wars characters showing up. Minus a bird for every drug that Carrie Fisher was on. So that gets us to about minus 150 birds.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So it just goes to zero, but
zero. Okay. Or round it up to zero, for sure.
Round it up to zero, cool. Yeah, what about you, Paul?
It's a math.
I'm going to give it 0.5 for Jefferson Starship.
Well, it is in a math podcast. We already established that.
Point
what was
five.
That, 0.5?
I'm giving it 0.5 for Jefferson Starship, and that's it.
Right. Well, brilliant. Okay. So I did say that this ranked a little bit below Rim of the World, and I gave Rim of the World 1.5 birds.
That was very generous of you, by the way.
It was very generous.
I think
we
were all trying to preserve Aaron's feelings before we realized she hated it.
Well,
too.
You guys were.
Yeah,
you guys were.
She gave us.
That's right.
She gave it the exact same as me, I think, 1.5 birds.
Oh, yeah.
But I would give this zero. And I never want to see it ever again.
Yep.
It is the most horrendous thing that I've ever watched in my life. I honestly thought this would be fun, but it was just taxing on my mental health.
We will actually.
I hated it.
Shout out, call out to George Lucas, letting you know if you're listening. We will happily join you in your odyssey of destroying every single copy of this movie.
Nobody should be watching this. Like, this is a weird kind of punishment.
We will bring down YouTube if we
movie.
Have to. We'll get
rid
of this.
This is terrible. But that's our podcast on the holiday special. Mm-hmm. And it begins our month of cringe, Star Wars cringe, where we're going to cover next week. It'll be the Ewok adventure. The week after that, it will be... The Ewok second adventure, which is the Ewoks, the battle for Endor, and then the prequels. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
Where we try and cover all the stuff that
I
people
like
want
our,
to forget about Star Wars.
Like, our viewership is going to go down significantly in the next
month. Yeah, they'll just be like, who the hell watches these shows?
That's right.
We are on all the social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Nerds Before Birds on all of those, except for Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Bird. If you want to write into our Bird's Nest episode, which we do every now and again, you can get to us on nerdsbeforebirdspodcast@gmail.com. Just ask us a question, tell us an anecdote, anything you want to say about the podcast, feel free to write through to that. We also have our t-shirts, like I said at the very beginning of this episode. We have new t-shirts coming out this month for Star Wars month, and we're on Redbubble at redbubble.com/nerdsbeforebirds, I think, podcast. But you can find all those links on our website, which is nerdsbeforebirds.com. That brings us to the end of this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We didn't. But, yeah.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Yeah, we did you a favor.
We did a single ticket movie month for you. We took the bullet for this one. Oh, yeah. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
If that doesn't grant us the rank of master, then I don't know what will.
Oh, man. You better freaking support us on Patreon. Bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye.